Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio.
Hi, I'm Jason Kelly, and welcome to the Bloomberg Business of Sports. On this podcast, I've got a treat for you. I caught up with Rich Paul, the founder of Clutch Sports, maybe definitively one of the most influential voices in sports today. He has become an agent and an agent of change in many ways, representing LeBron James and Anthony Davis, now widening to represent athletes in professional baseball and football. Fun fact, Clutch represented the number 2 and the number 3 picks in this year's New Look NFL Draft. I talked with Rich in a wide-ranging conversation about what's going on in sports right now, how we get back to some sense of normalcy, but we also took a turn into essentially the philosophy of Clutch, how he made the decision to start the firm, to leave what he described as a pretty good job, to go out on his own, inspired by another member of the inner circle of LeBron James, what that was like, what he's learned along the way, and maybe where this business goes next. Check it out. So Rich Paul, I want to start by asking you, you know, we're living in this world that is for the most part still without sports. How do we get back from here? What do you think we need to do to get back to something resembling normalcy when it comes to the world of sports?
Well, I think, you know, the first steps is always to just kind of look at all things in front of us. It's not a decision that could be rushed, obviously, because different from most business decisions before, we were making decisions, or we are making decisions, that entails the lives of, you know, whether it's players, workers, coaches, you know, family members, et cetera. So anytime you have that obstacle in front of you, you know, there's no way you can make a rushed decision. I do think that the proper steps are being taken to try to get us back to playing sports in any capacity. But ultimately, you know, it takes patience. It really does, because this thing hit. No one really understood the information coming out. No one really understood what's accurate, what's inaccurate, you know. And so for me, I've really just been valuing the time and trying to get a better understanding of what's really happening. And so, but I do think, as we're seeing here now, we're seeing a little light amongst all professional sports, that we can maybe get back to being active, and then hopefully, you know, take the next step after that, and then the next step after that, to ultimately end with normalcy. So right. I'm optimistic about it. I'm positive about it. I try to always keep a positive mindset while understanding what's in front of us and noting that it's serious.
Well, I want to talk about the implications for your business in a few minutes. But before we get to that, I do wonder, as you are having conversations, I know, every day with players, and I know that it's hard to generalize, but how are players feeling? I mean, you are in their heads. Your job is to have their best interests in mind. And we can talk a lot about sort of how society thinks about athletes. And I know it's something you've thought a lot about, but I wonder what's on their minds. You know, what are they thinking about across, and it may vary across different leagues. And I know you have clients across all of that, but what's foremost for them?
I think the NBA players were pretty much hit the hardest to start, because they were in mid dead stream of the season. They had played 80% of their games, and they were, you know, just in full stride. You know, the playoffs were shaping up. Individual awards was pretty much shaping up. You understood who were kind of in those lanes or whatnot. You know, teams had played each other 2-3 times already. And so I think those guys' world was turned upside down from a playing, a professional playing perspective, because they were mid-stride, and it was shaping up to be a hell of a season. And so in talking to those guys, it's just, it's unbelievable. You know, it really is. They've never been in this position, obviously, as the world has it. But it's hard to imagine. It's hard to not be in the flow of doing things that you've been used to doing for so long. And even for myself, you know, getting up, going to games, talking to teams, talking to players, you know, you pretty much know the schedule, you're on their schedule. And for that to come to a complete stop, it's definitely still to this day, it's just, you know, it's just hard to even believe and understand. But with that being said, they are looking forward to getting back to playing. They do want to come back and play. And it's helped some guys who was injured and was able to rehab while everything else stopped. So, you know, there's a positive from that perspective. But it definitely the world was flipped upside down as in terms of whether baseball, who now would be playing, just getting into their season. They've never been through it, obviously, and it's affecting them tremendously as well, as we see with all the conversations about this proposal, that proposal, which ultimately affects their salaries and things of that nature. And then I think football is a little different because they had the draft, and obviously it wasn't your normal draft, but they don't know that the players didn't really know what it was like. That they had never been to a draft before, so, you know, they understood, I didn't get to shake Goodell's hand, but they still got the feeling of being drafted and being home with their families, et cetera. Their season has yet to start. So there's a confidence that they will play this season. And so they're in a different position. But that's pretty much the three across the board.
Right.
But I think basketball was really, really, really hit, at least up to this point, the hardest, because right now we'll be heading into the conference finals at this point.
Right. Yeah. Well, and then specifically to that point, I mean, you were watching, to get very specific, you were watching the fruits of probably one of the most amazing deals that's been pulled off in the last few years, which was, you know, getting AD and LeBron on the same team. And obviously that was clicking for them and for you, and obviously for Lakers fans. I mean, that really came screeching to a halt. Now, obviously, that story is yet to be written, and we'll talk about what may happen next, but that must have been hard to watch.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was hard to watch for everyone, honestly. You know, it was hard to watch because you just know what these guys, what they put into it, what they put into getting back. Obviously, when you come up short the previous year, you had this motivation and this drive to come back and to, you know, adding different pieces to your teams and you know, and creating those moments, capturing those key moments and milestones, you know, and for it to come to a complete stop, it's extremely hard.
And so let's talk about basketball if we can just for a second. And, you know, you and I are speaking on Wednesday. There's a lot of speculation on, you know, what may happen. Nothing is official. And maybe by the time people are listening to this, it is. But from your perspective, what's the most important thing for the players going into this? What are they thinking about as they sort of contemplate a, you know, playing in a bubble and, you know, a sort of quarantined, shortened, different kind of season? What's front of mind for them and for you?
Well, for me, I think what would be front of mind is, number one, you know, it's always tough to, when you rev an engine up like they do in terms of playing the game at the level that they play, it's very tough to come to a complete stop. So now to start back up, I think the most consideration to be taken would be understanding that I have to protect myself because we're all scared of injury going forward, right? And so you want to be doing things now to give you the minimal risk of injury happening. And so guys have to really take it serious. You have to really, you know, what you don't have is you don't have your team pushing you to do X, Y, and Z. So it takes a lot of self-motivation. And you have to be focused to be able to do these things to prevent the risk of things happening as such. That's my biggest concern. And I tell all guys, you know, try to do things to stay in shape, keep your flexibility, you know, strengthening your core and things of that nature, making sure, obviously, you can't be in game shape because you haven't played a game. But doing all things up, all the way up to that to help you. Because as a professional, you just got to stay ready. You have to be ready. You're being paid to do a job. It's unfortunate times that we're all in. But at the same time, if they say, okay, well, in 2 weeks we're starting back up, depending on where you were at prior to that, could have a huge effect on you. And so you want to take this time not as a vacation, not as a time to where, you know, I don't have to do anything but play a video game or watch Netflix all day. You're still a professional athlete. And honestly, as a professional athlete, you should never be out of shape.
Right.
You should be in shape all year round, to be honest. But everyone's different. So that's my biggest thing.
So if we do end up in this situation where, you know, they're playing in the NBA players specifically are playing in a bubble, you know, you are their key advocate. You know, you are the key person who is dealing with teams and owners and whatnot. How does it change the way that you advocate for them, you know, even during that interim period or during that period where they're living in the bubble?
There's not a change of advocacy. I think we're in the bubble, understanding what's in front of us, understanding, you know, the responsibilities that you have. And in this case, you really have to work together.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, you're trying to protect our sport. And so everyone matters. Everyone's important at this time. And you have to applaud those who are really, in a lot of ways, you know, some would say, hey, I'm putting my life on the line to make sure that this thing continues on. And so that has to be withheld with the utmost respect. And that's my perception of it. And that's just my stance on it. Ultimately, you want the guys to be able to finish their season, and you have to respect those that's doing the littlest things and the biggest things to allow them to do so.
Yeah, it's a really interesting point because I think we've, you know, as you said earlier in the conversation, you know, you obviously worry about injuries and things like that, but we've never been in this position where you're really worried about player safety from a very basic health perspective. And I would imagine that adds sort of a different wrinkle to your job to some extent.
It does. You just try to have the conversation with the guys to be responsible.
Yeah.
You know, you really have to put another layer of responsibility on because this is something you can't see. And you can prepare for it as much as you want, but given that there is irresponsible actions being taken, it could affect all. It's just that serious. And so that, I think that would be my conversation on repeat.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I would imagine you're already having, you're having those conversations all the time now, for sure. Well, I do wonder, you know, in terms of this moment, you said something interesting earlier in the conversation about how, you know, you're sort of taking this time to reflect about your business. This has been a pretty amazing, by all accounts, 12 months for you to, you know, 12 to 18 months, maybe even longer, depending on how you want to define it. I mean, even this calendar year, or certainly this trailing year with some acquisitions that you've made to expand Clutch, I do wonder, you know, at this moment, as maybe you have had a little bit of time to reflect, do you think about your business differently? What happens at this moment for Clutch?
I think that You know, anytime something like this happens, there's an opportunity for one to excel. And in this instance, my mindset has always remained the same, and that's continuing to try to build the best team going forward to represent athletes in a capacity that is different than what was before us. And more so than ever, I think coming out of this, I think the landscape of the business will change, because prior to this, you know, you or anything, just it's human nature to just be okay with something remaining the same over and over and over again, long as there's not a negative effect, right? You know, you're okay with it. It's great, it's no issues. But the moment something like this takes place, then I think everything changes. And I think coming out of this, people are going to look for what we've always been preparing ourselves to be, and that's, you know, a more creative thinking, scrappy, you know, driven, you know, empowering the voice of the athlete type of environment. And we came in the doors being that person. And I think that coming out of this, that will be sought after even more so. We're built for the change because, as you know, before the business was, it was what it was. It was just, it was on repeat again.
Yeah.
The same environments, you know, the same cultures, the same, you know, infrastructures. It was all the same. And it was just like, hey, you know, we've been around for so long, and we've had success for so long, and people just, you don't really challenge that. But now I think it will be different. And so my focus has been, like I said before, just trying to continue to add the right pieces.
Mm-hmm.
We have a great foundation. We've had success. You know, we're going to stand on our pillars of integrity and you know, work ethic and knowledge and you know, trying to, you know, commitment and trust and things of that nature. But at the same time, take an even bigger step forward and just having a better understanding of not only our respective sports, but the business around it, and ultimately who that athlete wants to be.
Right.
And helping educate them. And it's not, and again, it's not going to be for everybody. We understand that. I understand that. But that doesn't mean that you can't prepare as such. And so that's what our focus has been. It will remain that. And I think that we will be sought after coming out of this, because I think this gives the athlete the opportunity to sit back and really evaluate what was in front of them. And you know, maybe I made a decision because it didn't ruffle any feathers at that time. I was in a different position in my life at that time, but now it's not. And I'm okay with making the decision that I feel is best for me versus appeasing others and things of that nature. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about it. Ultimately, I'm excited to get the world back, the world's heartbeat back beating, because I think sports is the heartbeat of the world globally. And, you know, and seeing our players get back into the flow of things will be great. And hopefully at some point here, you know, we're, as a nation, as a country, as a world, we're able to get back to normalcy.
Yeah, it's a really interesting point, sort of that self-reflection that it does feel like all of us are going through to some extent. And I do wonder, you know, for athletes that you're talking to, I mean, are they thinking about, I guess the question would be, how is it manifesting for them? Are they thinking about their pay differently? Are they thinking about teammates differently? Are they thinking about, you know, geography and all these things that play into it? Like, how are they thinking differently, how in terms of how they want to be on the other side?
I think for most athletes, there's a lot of trends, right? We've seen it. We've seen the tech trend.
Yeah.
Where it was a lot of guys going to that space, and it was the hot thing to do, but we didn't see the end result, right? We don't know what the end result really was. I think right now you're seeing the fashion space, you know, there's a lot of opportunity there. We live in a world to where today this brand is nothing, tomorrow is everything. We've seen that, and guys want to take advantage of that opportunity as well. So what I tell guys, we don't put a cap on anything. Obviously, your foundation is playing your respective sport. You're pro at that. That is one thing you are a professional at. The other things you want to be involved in, but you have to have the same values and understanding going forward in that business as you do in yours. The biggest thing is infrastructure. Money doesn't bring you results or success from that perspective. So you have to respect that space and really educate yourself on it, align yourself with the right people, having the right resources, the right relationships, and ultimately educating yourself on the space to take baby steps. Now, it's very difficult to be Ralph Sampson and Ralph Lauren. It just don't work like that.
Right.
But at the same time, you can have success in several things that you do. It may be a bigger piece of the pie over here, smaller piece of the pie over there, and that's okay. But ultimately, what you're trying to do is you're trying not to be totally successful in this space and then take that success and ultimately the earnings that you've made in this space and dump it over here from an uneducated standpoint just to lose. You know, we all want to create financial stability for our families, and in a lot of cases, you only have to do that once. You know, if you're taking the proper steps, especially the money that these guys are making. So, you know, be very careful that. You know, you can take the leaf off the tree, but you don't want to carry the trunk over here just right. to lose it. And so that's my conversation, because you got to allow guys to evolve as people. They're not just basketball, football, or baseball players. They're young men, their husbands, their fathers, their uncles, and they're creative. There's a ton of athletes out there that are really, really, really talented in other things. We just have to be smart as it pertains to that talent or that want, and be very careful who you're aligning yourself with, because the losses are hard to come by. You're losing liquid. It's a different dynamic when you get to that point.
Yeah.
And so that's a conversation that we have a lot, and I have a lot with a lot of my guys, because it's just important, you know, and it's also important to understand who you are and be okay with that. You don't have to be complacent. You know, you don't necessarily have to be totally content, but just be comfortable. Be comfortable, and it's okay to be you, and be confident that being you is good enough. And you tend to have some success and ultimately, you know, live the life that you want to live for as long as God allows you to live it.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.
You know, it's interesting. It's interesting to hear you talk about that, in part because it feels like this is a lesson that was learned more quickly in the NBA and by players in the NBA than some of the other major sports. And maybe we could argue the merits or demerits of that argument. It doesn't seem like an accident that is how you came up is working initially with basketball players, and now you've expanded the roster. Clearly, what do you see as you look across the different athletes that you represent, and maybe what are those lessons and do you agree with the idea that maybe those lessons were learned early in basketball, but maybe a little later coming to specifically baseball and football?
Well, what I see is, I think in all athletes, I think that, put it this way, in any other business, when you're successful, you're okay with that, right?
Right.
But I think that sometimes there's an insecurity in athletes that because I made my money playing a sport, that means that people don't view me as smart or as, my success didn't come from something that you had to necessarily go to school for, and et cetera. And some people struggle with that. There's an insecurity there. There's a lack there of confidence that I could be proud of who I was and where my wealth and success came from. And I'm saying, no, that's wrong. Everybody's different. Mm-hmm. Whether you're a fashion designer, whether you're Bill Gates, whether you're an athlete, whether you started Amazon, that's okay. But I think a lot of times where guys get in trouble is they want to prove that they're more than this person for someone else's approval. And to me, that's wrong. Now, if you want to challenge yourself, or if you want to express your other talents, I'm all for that. But do that for you. Don't do that trying to prove to someone else that you're more than just this person because this is where I made my money at. No, you made your money where God gave you the talent. God gave coders and people that were great with algorithms and different things, a talent to create certain things over here. He gave creative geniuses a talent to create certain things over there. He gave writers and producers their talent. He gave athletes their talent.
Right.
And I'm okay with that. Now, could some athletes become writers and singers and those things? Yeah, but do that for you. Don't do that to appease the perception of someone else and how they view you, and be confident in that.
Yeah.
And that's okay. So I look at that a lot. I see it, and I try to help guys understand that you can be confident and okay with how you got to this point. I'm very confident and okay with how I got to where I'm at, with the understanding I have a long way to go, and you don't get here by yourself. But at the same time, hey, I didn't go to Harvard. I didn't go to MIT or Penn, and that's fine. I got a master's at the University of Nike.
Right.
Fantastic for me. I always try to help guys just have a better understanding and know that it's okay for them to be who they are and double down on that. And, I think one of the biggest things you can do is align yourself with people who were successful in different spaces and conversate with them on how they got there.
Right. Would you agree, though, that it feels like that has manifested itself more prominently in the NBA than some of the other professional leagues?
In terms of what?
Just in terms of it. I mean, it's interesting to hear you explain that because it feels like the NBA to some extent, especially the modern NBA, the NBA of the last 20 years especially, has been almost like institutionally and culturally more comfortable with exactly what you're saying. This idea that a player can, be an excellent athlete on the court. And obviously, I will show my cards completely. Like, obviously, LeBron is a really interesting and maybe the alpha example of that in many ways. And you think about a Chris Paul, or you think about, you know, some of the other athletes that have come along through the NBA, who it feels like the league and maybe the sport itself have been more either open to that, or it have been a more fertile ground for that. And I do wonder if that has something to do what the relationship is to the popularity of basketball and all that. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. I think the sport of basketball is the one sport that allows you to be integrated with the movers and shakers of multiple industries.
Yeah.
It's an intimate watch. You close to the action. Guys interact. You know who they are. They're accessible. LeBron led this space starting out because of that, and I think you started to see more guys do it. But at the same time, Junior Bridgman is a very, very, very successful businessman that no one knows about.
Hmm.
Why? Because he wasn't a high-profile player when he did play, and he played many, many, many years ago. But he stands here today, an extremely successful businessman, in which it should be a prerequisite to have to speak to Junior Bridgman as you enter the NBA between years 3 and 7. You should want to talk to him. Everybody's not going to be LeBron. It's just not. It's not in the cards. And that's okay. In the event you are able to understand what it's like to be a professional athlete, you can really position yourself strongly in life. Because the ultimate goal is to do what? Have a strong foundation. When you build a house, the first step is doing what? Pouring the concrete to create the foundation of that home. Once you have that solidified, it's up to you the type of home you decide to build. It's the same way in professional sports. I think LeBron's success came from knowing what he don't know, aligning himself with the right people. Ultimately, we have an environment to where, and it's really, when you really look at it, it's a very sad thing. Everyone wants a personal pan pizza when you can really have the party platter. If you decided to communicate, to share information, to not want the credit, think about this. If Jeff Bezos said to me, Rich, there's an opportunity for you to have 0.00000001% of Amazon, but nobody's going to know, it don't matter, blah, blah, blah. I'm saying, come on with it.
Yeah.
Now, there's a trick to that. That's easy for you to say now, knowing the company is as successful as it is. But would you have made that same decision prior to its success, or would you have wanted to go out and try to start your own Amazon? The opportunity cost of you doing that would be the company's success today. This is the challenge amongst our athletes from a business perspective now. We're switching gears here. Everyone wants the personal pan pizza. We could have the party platter if we just communicate and done business together. Who cares if LeBron gets the credit today? Somebody else gets the credit tomorrow. Don't matter. It doesn't matter. But we don't think that way. But yet and still, we just saw five owners start a tequila company.
So how does that translate to your business? So how do you take those lessons and that philosophy that you just laid out? How does it inform Clutch?
Well, Clutch partnered with UTA.
Yeah.
That was a decision made not with ego. We didn't have to do that. But that was a decision made to give us a better infrastructure, give us better reach, give us better resources, better relationships to better represent our clients.
And so does that also change how and when you make acquisitions? And, you know, if you, you know, does it change how, you know, if you're going after a title or a revolution, like how are those conversations different, or what do they involve? What's the pitch to them?
Well, there is no pitch. It's ultimately my decision.
Yeah.
But when you have partners, you want to be in communication thoroughly. Obviously, everyone's involved. Everyone at this level, their insight is very important. And so I bet on people. And taking those first steps, going into those different sports, I'm betting on people.
Right.
We're not stopping there. That's just step one. Tomorrow there could be, today there's one head of football. Tomorrow there could be co-head. But the penetration had to come from some point. And, you know, we made the decision to go into it with these respective people. But ultimately, the goal is to continue to build the team. It's not an I, it's us. You want to build a great team. You know, I've been extremely fortunate to work with the people that I work with, and empowering different people. And so it's been fantastic. I have an unbelievable team with me. I have a superstar as my COO in Fairleaf. She's amazing. And we built a great team internally and you know, partnering with UTA, adding more great people and more experienced people and things of that nature. And it's been fantastic. It's really been great. I'm looking forward to what's next. I think we have a great setup, and it, you know, I can't be more excited about the times. And, you know, and obviously I know we're in this pandemic stage, but you have to stay positive. That's the one thing I can say to people out there, young, old. There's a lot of people that lost their jobs and things like that, and it's a very unfortunate time. But you know, you just have to stay positive because things come back around. You know, my dad always used to tell me, you have to stay down and come back up. And that's very important. And I think a lot of times people do a lot of working out, right? We're buying a Peloton bike. You're doing the apps on your phone and things of that nature. But the most important muscle that you can strengthen is your mind. So we got to start there.
And so how do you do that in this time? Are you reading more? Like, what are you reading? What are you watching? What are you listening to?
I'm mentally strong when God wakes me up every morning. I don't need to read a book to be mentally strong. And I'd rather talk to the living legends than read it in a book, honestly.
Who are you looking to right now?
Know,
who are you talking to?
I talk to different influencers and successful people. And when I say influencers, not the glitz and glam.
Right.
I'm talking about people who changed their business. One person I enjoy. You know, obviously, you know, I'm not into names. I don't really like to do that. But across the board, I talked to several people that have had a tremendous amount of success. I just lost a guy who became a really good friend of mine, Andre Harrell, who had an unbelievable impact on the music business. Was just a sweet, sweet guy. Every time you seen him, he was positive. He was obviously he was pro-black. And wanted the best for us and wanted you to really value your position and understand, you know, the mountain that you climbed and to get to this point and not to take that for granted. And, you know, we lost him, and it's unfortunate in this time you can't even really say your respects the proper way. But several people, male, female, it doesn't really matter the race, but I just try to surround myself and speak to those. Don't get me wrong, those who passed away and left behind impact and trailblaze is definitely people that you want to look to and read how they got there. But I'm also of the understanding of, well, if I was alive and they was alive and had the opportunity to speak to them when they were doing it, I would have wanted to do it then. So why not do it now?
Right.
And so I try to do that as well.
So as you look back, and we'll wrap up in a second, but as you look back on sort of the evolution of Clutch, and obviously there you've got a lot of big things ahead of you, what do you see as like the one or two sort of catalytic moments? You know, what are the moments you look back and say, all right, that was an inflection point? Maybe it's something recent, maybe it's something further back. What do you think about?
Well, I just think that when I look back on just the last, 8 years it's been, which is really not that long ago, I think just the want and the willingness to take the step forward that I did was very important.
To actually make the decision to do it.
Yes, because a friend of mine, well, not even a friend of mine, a brother to me was doing, he was speaking at a graduation. He was the commencement speaker. And he spoke about being content with a good-ass job. And this is Maverick I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Just speaking about having a good-ass job and growing up, because you don't have, you're without opportunity, you lack the higher education levels, which I did, and I was fortunate that my dad really put a focus on education, but for most, they did. Having a good-ass job, that was an end goal. That was being successful. That was fantastic. That made your family proud. You know, it was beyond the height that you thought you could go, right? That's what everyone strives to have.
Right.
It's just a good-ass job. Well, I had a good-ass job, and I wasn't satisfied with that good-ass job, which is why I say to take that step to create Clutch, and then not only create Clutch, but not be satisfied with it. You know, coming in, you have to be able to persevere through the naysay and the hate. I get so much, you don't understand how many parents I talk to that prior to them even having one conversation with me, they've talked to 15 people telling them why they shouldn't. Imagine swimming through that sanitation. Only in sports, this is very important. If you went out to buy a computer, what type of computer would you buy?
Apple.
Probably an Apple, right?
Yeah.
Because you consider them to be what?
The best.
The best. Exactly. If you went out and bought a car, what type of car would you buy? You could afford it. You know, you may not buy a Bentley, you may not buy a Ferrari, but you're probably going to buy a Benz if you can afford it.
Right.
Right? It's kind of midstream, not too loud, drives well, luxurious. You're going to buy a Benz. So there's two things that we talked about that if you can afford it, you're going to get the best. Well, in my business, people frown upon the fact that you represent the best players, whether that's LeBron, whether that's an Anthony Davis, a John Wall, Ben Simmons, whoever. They say that means he's not going to have time for you. That means it's going to be all about this person. Well, wait a minute. If I'm making a business decision in the space of representation, why, if I was buying a computer, I would buy an Apple, which is considered the best. If I was buying a car, I would buy a Mercedes, which is considered pound for pound the best. But as it pertains to my representation and the business decision that I'm making going forward, in a space where these guys lead, I'm not going to align myself with the best because I'm valuing attention over expertise. That seems backwards to me.
Right.
And it
right.
should seem backwards to most. But we have an environment where there's amateur athletics and there's habits built within the environment and the infrastructure of amateur athletics all the way up until the point you become a pro. But because you built bad habits along the way, the one day you get where you cross over that bridge from amateur to pro, allows you or disallows you to value the expertise over the attention. Because ultimately, you've done what? your whole time coming up as an amateur athlete, attention was what? The hierarchy.
Right.
There was no expertise necessary.
And that was my conversation with Rich Paul, founder of Clutch Sports. I have to say, I really enjoyed catching up with him, and clearly a lot going on in the world of sports, but also a look into how he thinks, the decision he made to create Clutch, and inspired in many ways by his association with not just LeBron James, but members, other members of that very tight circle that LeBron has created over the years. And you hear from Rich a lot of ambition, but also a vision of what representation could be and maybe the importance of sports as we try to get back to some sense of normalcy. I'm Jason Kelly. You've been listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports. Check it out every week on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. This is Bloomberg.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.